Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, Giblets? It's your boy, B-Train. And yes, I use that catchphrase quite often for the intro. Point I'm trying to get at is, what's up, ladies and germs? Again, it's your boy, B-Train, live here on Wrestle Radio, the host of the most, is trying to take care of some personal stuff. We're not delving into what personal kind of things. So, here it is. As the title says on the episode, what is the state of professional wrestling? Not just WWE. We're talking NWA. We are talking Evolve, Ring of Honor. What is the state of professional wrestling? What do I mean by this? I can tell you, for starters, I've seen across the board what has to be offered. And I've observed little clips on my newsfeed as they come through Facebook or Twitter. And I got to say, looking at stuff from Evolve, Wrestling Revolver, New Japan, NWA, it's getting a lot tighter. The competition is getting a lot better. I'd say all across the board, it is nearing summertime, so a lot more events are on their way. So, with that being said, I got to ask one thing. Now, what is the state of professional wrestling? And what do I mean by this? Is wrestling in a bind to gain interest from people? No. By all means, no. There's a lot of people that like to go and watch professional wrestling simply because their kids are interested in it, and they make the excuse, my kids made me go. And then after, you know, like 20 minutes or 30 minutes of watching the programming itself, they tend to be interested. They're like, you know, maybe we should watch this. Maybe we should buy the merchandise. Maybe we should actually get stuff from folkslam.com and subscribe. Cheap plug right there, I know. But what is the state of professional wrestling? This is, you know, it could vary from a lot of opinions, and this is what I say. I am going to continue this in off the rails here, right here on Wrestle Radio. So, for now, for the time being, I'm going to discuss with you my viewpoints on what I'm seeing nowadays in professional wrestling, and that is, you know, there's some of the gimmicks are cookie cutter, yes. But that's everywhere. There's guys who get by cookie cutter gimmicks. And I didn't mention that in the detailed description of my episode log list, but I am going to tell you, to start off this episode, there's a lot of terminologies, but cookie cutter gimmick meaning, oh man, he's your stereotypical heel, he's your stereotypical babyface. What is a stereotypical heel in wrestling? Guy that goes after the audience, tells them to shut up. A guy that powders out, you know, after a few move sequences here and there as the babyface beats his ass or her ass, you know, if you're a woman. So here it is, you know, we're going into terminology from the get-go. Speaking of terminologies, what is the state of professional wrestling from a fan's viewpoint? This is what I got asked last week, and I'm kind of continue the questions because I did promise you I would answer the Instagram questions from Wrestle underscore radio. That is Wrestle underscore radio. If you have any questions, send them in to us. We would be glad to answer them as they come. So if you have any doubts that what I'm about to tell you, and that is professional wrestling goes in cycles. So for fans, they can both be interested in UFC. They could be interested in, you know, sports because wrestling kind of let them down. But what it is, really, it turns out to be a mix of things. If you're not satisfied with what you're watching, the current product right now, it could be, well, explain to me why they did this, or explain to me why this storyline is going on. Oh, holy crap! The host with the most!
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you, not from Death Valley, but from Kansas City.
I should be from
City.
Death Valley. I should be from Death Valley.
At this
point,
you know, ladies and gentlemen, I am not carrying an urn just because of the fact I am a former manager, but I'm sure, I am definitely sure that the host of the most could agree with me that the state of professional wrestling can vary depending upon the fan or the worker that's working the promotion that they work for. So what I did was...
That's completely reasonable.
It
does vary a lot, not just by the fan, but also by the promoter, and also by the internet wrestling community.
Oh, yeah, and the internet wrestling community can shove it up their ass.
For example,
and I'll get into that later.
For example, with Roman Reigns being the big example, everybody was on his Van Horseman with the Shield. Now he's booed all over the place. So, it doesn't take much for the fans to snap like that. They first they like someone, then snap, they don't like it anymore. So it does vary on the promoter, the wrestler, and the fan.
Yeah, it does vary. But the state of professional wrestling is actually, in my opinion, you know what? Watch out, because SmackDown might surprise some of you all, as it usually does. I would have to say, watch out, because of Shinsuke Nakamura's debut in Chicago, Illinois, at Backlash against Dolph Ziggler. I mean, come on. The state of professional
that
wrestling
match will probably
feel
the show, dude. That match will probably feel the show.
That is true, ladies and gentlemen. I also might be making my way down to the Allstate Arena because I have asked for, you know, as the early birthday gift to B-Train to go see that match because Shinsuke's debut.
And I just said, did you guys pick up that before, which they just announced that from a Fatal 4-Way to a Triple Threat match featuring Nikki Cross, Asuka, and Ruby Riott. Because Ember Moon's out of Chicago, so.
Well, I think it's going to be highly interesting. Go ahead.
But the one match I want to see more than anything is Bobby Roode defending the NXT title against Hideo Itami. This is his very first NXT title shot since Bobby Roode's had it, and this is his first major shot since he's been hurt. So, I'm excited for that too.
Well. And speaking in the state of professional wrestling, guys, I'll tell you what's going on down, you know, out down where Jake is. Dynamo Pro, Glory Pro, NWL, St. Louis, NWL, Kansas City. Speaking of NWL, that place is, I believe, becoming the Midwest version of Ring of Honor. That's a high comparison to it, but when you look at the talent that they have on their roster, I mean, if people are filling that place to the brim and it's, you know, it's starting to be summer and people go to see wrestling and baseball games and also preseason football games, wrestling kind of fits in between, folks. I mean, if you look at it, NXT had a pretty good turnout. Well, maybe. I've seen better turnouts, but they had a decent turnout at the Silverstein Ice Center in Kansas City the last time that they were there. Jake and I did not cover that too much, but I do know that Monday Night Raw.
Well,
weren't there. Yeah. I was told.
Yeah,
that it
was but
decent
the thing
show,
is, I made it. But I made a surprise appearance at Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw. Okay. Everyone wants to center their focus around the center of wrestling is WWE. Jake and I do not do that because I like to talk about past and present, comparing the past to the present. Okay, the state of wrestling now, they
and
have
me, I like
the independent. Well, yeah, the Jake and I like
from
to
Japan,
like
from
yes,
from Japan, to Ring of Honor, to England, to what's going on in Mexico, what's going on in Canada, going here in the United States, and also what's going on in the past. And then also we talk about the future. So,
well, you know what I noticed, partner? I noticed something really cool, of course. Paul Orndorff just wrestled in CWE. That would be Danny Warren's promotion, or Danny Duggan's promotion, Hotshot Danny Duggan, who's bringing back the Zumbas and the
Fanny
Packs. Yeah, Zubaz, my bad. Being in East Coast traffic will do that to you folks. I made the mistake of actually driving my friend's car over to another person's home. But, you know, here's the thing. Danny's promotion has gotten a lot of names on there, and including then, you know, Tyler Black, or better known as Seth Rollins. He's had Hardcore Holly. He's had Stevie Richards. The names just go on and on and on in this guy's list. He's had Matthew Riddle wrestle for his promotion. Danny has a fair share of names in CWE. It may not be well known,
I heard about this morning that Kevin Von Erich, or Kerry Von Erich, it's one of the two, I don't know which Von Erich is, he's actually coming out of retirement to wrestle a match with his sons in Israel.
You know what? Yeah, I read that as well, too, and I'm going to be highly interested, because
I've seen his sons wrestle, it's Russ and Sterling. And they're both very, very talented wrestlers. And they still use the claw like their dad did.
Well, I mean, it just depends, you know, folks, like what your taste is in professional wrestling. So like Jake was saying, you know, you can be interested in people like returning, you know, out of retirement, or people like, what's his face? Oh, yes. If you pay attention to it, like Wildcat, and I believe Buku Dao, our good buddy Buku Dao, who is wrestling in a promotion again with Stevie Richards. It isn't Wildcat Wrestling, it's some other promotion, but if you're active as him, and not only him, but one of our other former guests, Ronnie Nicole, who that young lady is in Japan every month and working against some of the biggest names in Japan. So if you want to know what the state of professional wrestling is, it's the independence is where it's at. Because, and I say this nicely, the WWE, yes, they pay a paycheck, but the independents are getting a lot of attention because they're pushing not only their product, but their events are cheap, and not cheap, but they are affordable. And affordable in this state of mind with this economy and professional wrestling, those go hand in hand, just saying. You know, Jake and I have been to two Wrestling Revolver shows. We've been to two Evolve shows. Not just the shows you go to, it's the quality of product. So the state of professional wrestling as it is right now, yes, we went to Royal Rumble. Yes, we went to WrestleMania. But the difference between an indie show that has maybe like 3 hours worth, difference between that and WrestleMania is Mania's got all the pyrotechnics and all the entrances drawn out, whereas, you know, like WrestleCon or Wrestling Revolver, which Jake and I went to, has some names and some actual wrestling. Am I taking a shot at WWE? That depends how you take it.
But also, you gotta realize also, the Wrestling Revolver is one of the best main promotions in the Midwest. But also, I think about also like all the other promotions, like League of Honor, like NWL, like Evolve. I'm like, I took him to his first Evolve show in back-to-back days. Went to two Evolve shows in just one weekend. But what's funny is that where my broadcast partner is, they're up there all the time.
Yeah, I just work a lot, folks. But I do. I have caught one show, Chaos Wrestling, and I was able to, not just Chaos Wrestling, but I did catch an ROH show. I did see pretty much how quickly paced the matches are, how Jay Lethal, by far, I gotta say, he's probably not my, personally speaking, I really didn't like the fucker, but let me tell you, when he works in that ring, he's one of the hardest workers. Why?
On the subject of Jay Lethal, that dude, I've seen him wrestle a couple of times, but I've also seen other people along with him wrestle too. But the thing is, what's interesting about Jay Lethal, I remember his old days in Ring of Honor and then his old days in TNA. Now he's in Ring of Honor again, putting on a hell of good matches in Ring of Honor and New Japan. But I believe he's hurt right now, so.
It did say that Lethal was injured, but like I said, I may not like him from a personal viewpoint. But, Lethal, when he performs or, like I said, guys, last week and this week and the week before and in the future, Darby Allin, if you ever go to WWE, I will love you forever. Because him and imagine him and Aleister Black being a tag team. Imagine that. Imagine those two. One has charisma, the other has charisma. The other one, dark, the other, two dark gimmicks together. It's like two partridges and a fucking pear tree. I gotta tell you, when I watch things, I don't look for flippy bullshit. I don't care for that. But at the state of professional wrestling, this is where it stands from a worker's perspective. Guys are looking for work. They're looking to break in NXT. Why? Because NXT is where it's at and where people want to actually be. So whenever one of our friends who constantly mentions how I'm going to this seminar, I want to go to that seminar, there's a variety of stages that the states of professional wrestling are in. Like, I want to get here, I want to go here, I want to do this, I want to do that, from a worker's perspective. Yeah, of course. You say you're not going to want to go to anywhere big. Your ultimate goal, I'm not telling you what it should be, but your ultimate goal as a worker is, of course, get to the WWE. Some people's goals are different. They want to get to Evolve. They want to get to Ring of Honor. Or they want to go to Japan. But that's from a worker's perspective, looking to get somewhere within the business. I can't speak for every worker because there's a lot of workers who are already gaining attention from everywhere. So I'm going to skip right to the fans' perspectives. There's some fans that really believe that the state of professional wrestling revolves around The Miz, who is, I don't know why, this is still bothering me. The Miz is a top heel. I don't see it. I mean, I see why a lot of people say. I just don't see it. That's just my opinion base. There's Dolph Ziggler, guys, there's Jinder Mahal. For those of you hating on Jinder Mahal, it's possibly because you have an issue with the fact that he's not American descent and that the fact that he's going after something that belongs to Randy Orton. So that's from a WWE perspective. Some people like Matt Riddle. Some people hate Matt Riddle. Some people like Roman Reigns. Some people like Roman Reigns. It just depends. So, you just, like, for the fans to sit there and gripe and bitch about Roman, but they don't make any steps towards helping that situation out, you're entitled to your opinion, but I just feel like the state of fans in professional wrestling versus the state of workers, fans are kind of the annoying, because some of you, not all of you. For those of you who gripe about Roman Reigns and don't have a fucking reason, shut the fuck up, please. Second of all, the state of professional wrestling doesn't hinge on one person. You guys got a full roster to bitch about. Like, Apollo Crews. No one's really, what is his state of mind in professional? I don't know. When they aligned him with Titus O'Neil, it kind of became interesting. What's his face? Ethan Page. I really enjoy watching him. I think that he is amazing. Cobb, it depends on what your flavor of professional wrestling is. But like I stated earlier, this entire podcast is not going to be, oh, let's, you know, break it up into sections and try to psychoanalyze everything professional wrestling, because that's not what we're here to do. Okay? So I understand the host of most has an affinity for the independents, and he can tell you for hours what goes, who goes well with whom, and who fits well with whom because of what he watches. Like CZW,
I can do that.
For example, yeah, like CZW, my broadcast colleague can really go on a tangent about which deathmatch was cool. We even got roasted on the weekend about Joey Janela. You know, and that
first
cat.
Okay, everybody has a different opinion about
who?
Joey Janela. Everyone has a different opinion about Joey Janela. And personally, I like him as a wrestler. He's a fantastic wrestler. But, you know, it's, everybody's got their own opinion, but I'm not that worried about it. But also, I've seen from the bottom to the top. I've seen when CZW got famous was Sick Nick Mondo getting re-whacked in the stomach at Terminal Death 2. That's what we got this deal. But nowadays, I'm become more and more interested. There's a guy out there, his name is known as Leo Rush. We saw him at WrestleCon. That dude is so smooth in the ring, it's not even funny anymore. And
Leo Rush.
Yes. He trained is not like the puppy bullshit. And on the other hand, I'm a fan of the Cruiserweight, and me, I've always loved the fucking bullshit. So you can't tell me shit.
Well, I don't mind it. I just, you know, the guys who live off that office, you have to work with somebody that's like a ground and pound. It's easy for that. I'm just saying, like, everyone has their flavor of ice cream that they like in professional wrestling. Some people like boring, bland-ass vanilla. Some people like vanilla with a little sprinkles and... By sprinkles, I mean, I can break this down and make you guys go, oh, okay, now I get what he's saying. And that means when you have, like, a Mustafa Ali or a Tony Nese or a Noam Dar or an Austin Aries, you know, guys that came from the independents, there's more. I can list more, gentlemen, ladies and gents. Zack Sabre Jr., you know, Chris Hero is not a cruiserweight, but that fat fuck can actually fucking fly. And yes, I called you fat, Chris, but you know what? Here's the thing. You are amazing because no one wants to fuck with you because why? You're a big-ass motherfucker and you can actually work. And for those people who doubted his ass, as one wise man once said, you can go fuck yourself. The state of professional wrestling is like this. The crowds can be overly sensitive in WWE and get offended and write tweets and Instagram notices and pictures and all that shit and blogs. But if you go to the independents, do you seldomly deal with that shit? I mean, do you ever hear of an incident in the independents that's kind of like over the top? No. And it's a very rare occurrence that me and my broadcast partner hear about that because, yes, you're going to have your crazies, your psychotics, and you need a straitjacket type of fan. But in WWE, the WWE fans, not all of you, some of you, camp out in the hotels and wait and, you know, take pictures of from a distance and make yourself look cool. That's fine. By dissing on you, no, I'm just telling it like it is. Because here's the point that I'm trying to make. In the state of professional wrestling, right now, from all around, not just worker, not just fan, but the independents seem to be more toned down. Because it's not perfect, it's not troned, it's not pyroed, but it's what you like to call entertainment. Now, we've got Women of Honor, we've got Shimmer. You've got women that came from Shimmer that are in NXT, that went from NXT to main roster. Got women from Shimmer that are in New Japan. And the reason I keep telling some of you guys that are messaging us on Instagram, the reason why some of these guys do not jump to main rosters, because it's not the contract that they get offered, they know they're getting fucked over sideways. I hate to say it, but holy hell, AJ Styles, even when they tried to turn him heel, even when they brought back John Cena, AJ Styles, holy fucking balls, dude. AJ Styles got chanted over, John, you know, the whole half Cena sucks and half Cena, or, you know, whatever, let's go Cena chant. I'm just saying, it's not about just being over. AJ Styles, well before WWE, was over. You put him as a heel, he still gets freaking, you know, babyface love, and it's ridiculous. So, I mean, you gotta... From what my partner and I have observed right now, from all the way from January up to now, I think it's safe to say things need to change. Like, if you want something changed, guys, here's a well-known fact for you. It's really not going to change unless the fans put forth an effort to say, hey, in a nice gesture, like, could you please quit pushing the whole Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns issue? It's going to get stale, and fans are going to bitch at you. Don't put it on a blog, because that, what good will that do you? So we're in the era of social media. And by that, Jake and I both have seen, you know, from a blog, an actual blog that told Triple H and Stephanie in layman's terms to shove it up your ass, because we could do a better job if we were creative. Do you realize that puts you in charge of head amount of superstars? And if they don't like you from a personal perspective, guess what, folks? They're not going to want to work under you. So it's more than just writing on a piece of paper what a story arc between said superstars and putting, you know, the newbies at the top, though they're not newbies at all, like Shinsuke, Balor, Owens, AJ Styles. I believe those were the four that were listed on that letter. But we're in the state of professional wrestling where social media is huge, and a lot of people are not really grasping the hint that Triple H and Stephanie have a little bit of something to do with creative control, but not that much. So, that's possibly like one of the reasons why I get kind of irritated just a smidgen. I came across some news. Oh boy. Well, I just came across an article that some fan sent me through our Instagram that it says Triple H responds to UK WWE fans' demand for a WrestleMania. Oh boy. It says, you know, says, UK shores, man, they're feeling good. Some point in Norwich. We want Mania. Yeah, I don't. The actual pay-per-view, yada yada, take over in London with Finn Balor. Okay. Insurrection in 2003. And it really doesn't say anything. So,
literally,
I don't know what this
article.
What's the point? Well, it didn't. There's no quotations to this article. Whoever sent me this is kind of defeating their purpose. It says, oh, never mind. It says, the game jokingly responded to Chance by saying, oh, you want me? I can get you the code for the travel packages. It's only 7 hours away. I do all that journey all the time. Don't keep bitching. Okay, well, you know, seems the COO of WWE has made his point clear. According to this article from Give Me Sport WWE, you can go to Give Me Sport on Facebook and give it a like. You can get all the advertisement, all the likes. Yep, all the likes. There we are. Okay, yeah, that fan was from, of course, Norwich, London. We keep getting bigger and badder on Instagram, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you wishing to send in your questions, go to wrestle_radio on Instagram. You can also message us through Facebook. Go to wrestleradio/facebook.com. And okay, so anyways, before I'm going to start from this rampage, you see the arenas, you see it's like, you know, says sold out. Now, my broadcast partner and I discussed this several times. I firmly believe that when it says sold out, it's saying that to promote their product because they don't want, obviously, people to freak out. Oh, my God. You know, the arena's actually not sold out. Which is, you know, not necessarily true, okay? So, it's just saying that Triple H probably was trying to mess around and joke around with people. He wasn't being, and he wasn't trying to be an asshole, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? That's not the point of this article. The point of this article was saying it's kind of American based, and if they went worldwide with it, then America would start to gripe about wanting it back. So, guys wanting WrestleMania? Okay. I don't know how to answer that question, but I will go with this question, which is, if you think, okay, like, what is the definition of state of professional wrestling that comes from Larry? I'm not shitting you. Larry from Irving, Wyoming. I've never had a question from Wyoming, so cool, I'll go ahead and answer it. What is the definition? Okay, dude, like I said, it can vary. What was the state of professional wrestling back in, like, 1984 or 1978 to 1984? I can tell you one thing. Until 1984, WWE really didn't have anything. And I'm assuming, you know, like, before Hogan came to the company and before Andre the Giant, you know, started becoming a normal thing for Vince Jr., it really wasn't, there wasn't really any competition except for, well, I don't know, NWA, WCCW, Davy Crockett back in the day. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that can be defined as state of professional wrestling. So, anyways, continuing on. If you guys haven't already done so, we're going to take a break here amongst this rambling. Start our advertisements. So, if you haven't signed up for Evolve's network, you can go to flowslam.com. It's only $9.99 per month. Go sign up with a valid email and a valid credit card or debit card. Make sure you make that subscription. If you want to catch anything Monster Factory worthy, you can go to www.monsterfactory.org. Sign up today for your introduction to professional wrestling. Contact Danny Cage. His number will still should be on the website. That is Danny Cage. Look at his number. It's right on the website. You contact him about tuition. Tuition is $3,000 for students with non-experience. students with experience is $2,500, $500 down payment, $2,000 for students with 2 years experience or more. For more information about Danny Supercamp, you can go look on the website. It's July 7th and 8th. Look at special discounts and prices, which are probably limited and done and over with. Also, check out our Wrestle Radio sponsors, such as MakeWish.org. If you like to make a child's wish come true, make that wish come true, type in the name of Superstead Superstar in the search engine. You can contact MakeAWish.org if you want to become a Make-A-Wisher, make a child's wish come true. For veterans looking for jobs, you can go to www.hireforheroes.com. For veterans having a hard time filling out that application and getting hired, please make sure to go to hireforheroes.com so you can get hired right away. All right, folks. So, done advertising. I'm back to talking about the state of professional wrestling, current 2017. I personally feel that it's a broad spectrum. It's gotten a lot bigger than what it has been. I feel that there are a lot of problems when it comes to staying interested in the product, because you know, it has its hits and its misses. Some people still watch Impact. Some people still watch, like a lot of people watch Evolve a lot. A lot of people are watching Wrestling Revolver now. A lot of people, you know, some people, their fancy is CZW. Is that an issue? No, I really don't think so. I mean, I didn't. All right, so I just got a question to ask. Why do certain people hate certain wrestlers? And this is from Aaron from Charlotte, North Carolina. Why do people hate certain wrestlers, dude? Okay, that depends. If the gimmick is there, you know, some people will go all out just to hate somebody. They not only go all out, but they will make effort to hate. They'll go say, well, I hate him just because I don't like him. I don't like the way he is. I think he's an asshole, yada, yada. Then this, so that means that wrestler is doing their job. You know, like Paul Heyman, is he liked by everyone? No. But a lot of people like quoting him for some odd reason, you know. Oh, geez. You know what's hilarious? Yeah, everyone's getting on that whole Kings of Leon deal, which, you know, is a hot button issue, so I figured we might as well touch on that too. Apparently, this idiot from Kings of Leon made a comment about how you should stop watching professional wrestling and stop being materialistic. So, the state of professional wrestling, in that sense, mind wrestling must be getting popular again. A little bit. Simply because, well, I mean, if a singer's telling fans not to watch it, let alone, you know, do all this stuff, then I gotta say, professional wrestling, you're doing your job. And what exactly what was said by the lead singer of Kings of Leon? He said that people, you know, needed to stop watching professional wrestling. Well, wow. Okay, so I don't know where the host of the most went, but I do know that reading through these articles that fans have been sending me is kind of interesting. Like, for example, one sent me from another podcast, I guess.
I'm back. Just took a minute.
Okay. Well, I happened to be reading some articles while you were away, and kind of funny if you ask me. They're basically stating, you know, where the state of professional wrestling is, ladies and gentlemen. And if you have any questions, go to wrestle_radio to send your questions on Instagram or VTrain05000 during Off the Rails. I don't care.
And we're also going to. And while we're doing advertisements, I'm going to add another advertisement. Listen tomorrow night, live on Off the Rails, uncensored. And there's a reason why I'm saying this, because you never know who might pop in.
Oh, yeah, you never know, exactly. Because I live out
Hong
east, ladies and gents. Yep. I'm not only because I live out east, but also because I opened my phone line up one time here on Wrestle Radio, and someone from LA called in. So apparently, podcasts are becoming a thing again. Well, radio shows, for that matter, in wrestling are becoming hot button issues because a lot of people have heard, hey, if you start a radio show, you'll end up in WWE. No,
nope.
Not necessarily.
Like
not
that.
Necessarily. That's. It doesn't quite work like that. You have to have a hot, controversial son of a bitch like me, who not only spouts off, you know, stuff that comes from his mind, because a lot of people will say, "Well, how do you engage your audience?" And we lost the host most. Well, how do you engage your audience? First, you've got to get an audience. Second, you have to talk about the hot-button issues. And one of the hot-button issues right now a lot of people are solely concerned with is one guy. One guy. And that's if you pay attention to, you know, professional wrestling as a whole. As, you know, because you can – I stick to watching, like, I don't know. I watch a variety of shows. I watched Evolve. Okay, I've mentioned that before. I've watched Wrestling Revolver. And I've also watched, well, I've yet to watch Dynamo Pro. I've watched Global Wrestling Force or whatever. And I got to say, not that bad whenever you feel like you have an interest in watching professional wrestling. However, when people don't want to watch it, they're going to sit at home and watch something else, something else. And I just got, you know, a question that's saying, what do you feel needs to change, what, you know, to make people tune in more? You know what? I firmly believe this. This is my thing. If you want to watch something and try and change it, you shouldn't be watching professional wrestling. So here it is. I just got another message. So hang on and bear with me, ladies and gentlemen, while I read this two-paragraph long essay-type thing. Hey. Okay. As I just read what I just read, here's what I'm going to say. The reason why we cover independence more than, you know, more so than like half and half with WWE is because WWE, as a show, you know, as their shows, like NXT is much better, I believe, than their main roster. Of course, main roster is getting an injection of NXT's guys, but they're kind of not wanting to expand, in my opinion, the talents of the Finn Balor or the talents of, you know, certain people like AJ Styles. AJ Styles never started out in NXT, but let's talk about, let's talk about that. How are we going to... All these, you know, questions come in. I'm trying to explain to you all what's going on. Oh, yes. Hang on one second, ladies and gents. The host with the most is trying to get back on. Well, I'm reading this Instagram question. Here it is. All right. Oh, interesting. The number looks utterly familiar. Hang on one second, ladies and gents. One second. Hi, how you doing?
Hi, this is a caller, actually. It's not somebody.
Hi, how you doing? What's going on? May I ask
what
your name
good.
Is?
Jay from New York.
Yeah. Jay from New York, hey!
What's up, man? You know, the ups and downs about... I saw the category, I like it a lot, the ups and downs about wrestling and stuff. I really feel... like the attitude era cannot be repeated, you know, like, but you know, we have to, I mean, as wrestling fans, we have to stay with it. I think what really killed it was, WCW ending, because there was no competition there no more, you know?
I completely agree with you on that. The Attitude Era is like what everyone refers to as one of the greatest eras. me, personally, dude, like, I started, you know, getting into the business in 2008. I went to guys like Kenny Bolin and Jim Cornette. Cornette will tell you stories up and down why WCW ending was a bad thing and why what killed WCW. And so, I mean... Me personally, like, I feel.
Well, you know the whole story behind that, right?
Yeah, I kind of do. I mean, I try not to delve into politics too much, man. But, everyone tells me.
The brother from the Wonder Years was supposed to be.
Oh, Fred Savage.
You remember the brother from the Wonder Years? Yeah.
No. I believe the only one.
No, Fred Savage's brother. He was a big WCW fan. I forget his real life name. He was a huge WCW fan. And he was supposed to invest along with AOL into WCW. And it didn't go through. And then when Vince McMahon bought WCW, which was crazy.
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm open to old stories, but like what I heard was that, like, that, you know, that there's the discrepancy between WCW and, you know, their owner at the time, Ted Turner. Ted Turner relinquished the rights because AOL was supposed to buy it out. When they took over, Vince Russo came in. And when Russo let the NWO, not just the NWO, take over, it was a mess. The NWO took over. And basically, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Hogan were running the show, and they did the finger poke too.
Right, Kevin Nash became
the world champion.
I think, like, no, he became, I believe... the script coordinator, like the main script writer, you know.
The booker, in other words.
WWE, I think the main booker, yeah. But WWE's has made the same mistakes. I mean, Triple H is in my top five of all time. But I think when he married Stephanie, they let him get a little too much power, you know.
Well, I mean, that's just one thing I try to tell fans is that it's all misinterpreted. I'm not defending him. I don't really know the ins and outs. I've only been, like I said, dude, not to break kayfabe here, but I've actually been backstage, been around the big wigs like Michael Hayes and you know, and a Jamie Noble and John Laurinaitis and all them. And I mean, personally, from what I've seen and what I have witnessed backstage, I mean, you rarely see Triple H. If he is back there, it's because there's something big going on and there's something big being planned. A lot of fans have the conception that Hunter is in charge of what goes down in WWE. That's not necessarily the case, man. They've got a lot of creative guys like Fit Finley, William Regal, Stephanie McMahon is, I don't think she even has anything to do with creative slot. Maybe she does. I read articles, don't get me wrong. I try to listen to fans and what they got to say. But Hunter is not in and will not always be in control. That's mainly Vince. Vince McMahon controls what goes on Monday Night Raw. Triple H is only the COO of the company. What he runs is NXT and Talent Developmental is run by Fit Finley. And Steve Corino, I believe. So when you look at the dynamic of like what's coming into the product, that's not all Triple H's decision making. A lot of people want to pin the blame on him for Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman.
Oh, that's why you know, with the new era, my favorite was CM Punk. You know, because that, and I don't know if it was shoot or if it was scripted. But if it was scripted, it was genius. You know.
Are you talking about his podcast with Colt Cabana?
No, I'm talking about the first one, like years ago, when they cut his mic off.
That was straight up a shoot because, you know, when they cut your microphone off, Dana, that's code for don't let him on air. And H was actually the one behind him trying to push him. It's just by happenstance, bro, like what the company's actually deciding to do with you. And that is, you know, that was completely Triple H's thing. I was looking for a spark and I finally found it. Vince was the one, you know, that put him and Taker at Mania 29, you know, put that little strap on the back of CM Punk saying, hey, you know, you did a really well job. They get paid three times less. Think about that. Punk got paid. They were not doing anything with him. Basically, they were just letting him be in limbo. And so Punk said, fuck it. I am going to just tell exactly how I feel because, you know, this company needs a little oomph to it, a little edge to it.
You know who did that in one of the books? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't cut you off.
No, but Triple H, I believe, said that I did not plan this. This was all CM Punk. It was not written. Let me tell you right now that at that point he was walking around. His contract was up in the air. They're literally going to fire his ass. But because of that, Monday Night Raw got such high ratings because they tuned in to CM Punk when he cut his mic off. You know what I'm saying? He got off his ass and went, you know, to Colt Cabana's podcast years after working the E, and he said, I was in limbo, that a lot of people think that was something the company planned. He goes, no, fuck that shit. I was the one that came up with the ideal to say, hi, broke the wall. Hi, Vince. I know I'm not supposed to be doing this. Paul Heyman was literally the man fronting Punk to Triple H, which meant, you know, this is the guy. This is what you should do with him. And the company basically fucked that up because
where the true genius kind of lies? Like,
do what?
Isn't that where kind of like the true genius is kind of lie? doing something you're not supposed to do and doing it and the audience loving it, you know.
That's why the East loved him, the West, everyone loved him, because no matter who he was against, it could have been The Rock, it could have been Stone Cold, it could have been Jericho. Punk puts any worker, your job as a worker is not just to put guys over, but it's to also get yourself involved with the audience. That's the goal. And also, kids loved him because he was like me, you know, an outcast. An outcast in this business is not very well liked because they're the ass kissers, the one that gets on the knees with chapstick and kisses the boss's ass. Punk.
Can I ask, what do you do in the business?
What I do in the business, dude? I tried out wrestling a long time ago, back in 2008, mm-hmm. as a manager and a worker. You won't find me on YouTube. You will not find me on Yahoo. But yeah, you will find me in a shitty promotion. I basically know all the terminologies, not just that. I know from a worker's perspective, when you step out of that curtain, you're supposed to entertain the fans as a babyface or a heel. A lot of people don't understand that it's a lot of work that goes into it. You got to sell your own merchandise. You got to promote yourself. Nowadays, it's social media run. So back in 2008, you had to send your tapes to NXT.
ADP didn't start managing until he was 32 years old. He didn't even wrestle until he was 35.
He was 35. I was 21, dude. I wanted to, you know, this is why I have a lot of respect for CM Punk, because when he works out of armories, when you work out of independence and you're getting paid and you're getting told, hey, this is the next guy, let's bump his ass up to the big times. When CM Punk actually wrestled against Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio at the same time. A lot of people don't realize that because they only know him in WWE.
I didn't know
him. Yeah, he, back in like 2007 and 2008, before Eddie passed, and Punk was working, I believe, it was IWA Mid-South or something, Ring of Honor. Like, Punk has worked Ring of Honor, IWA Mid-South. He's worked in a lot of promotions before the E. A lot of times, you know, okay, speaking of my career, I worked with a guy by the name of Victor Quiñones, and that, you know, in itself, and that's a promotion Carlos Colon runs, and it's called WWC. So those are where the colognes came from, Primo, Epico, Carlito, all them. It's, you know, you learn, I learned how to take my first bump on boxing.
Hello, say hello to the bad guy, Carlito Caribbean, you worked with?
I trained with him, I never worked with him. I don't really, you know, that was when I had...
Whatever happened to him? I used to love him, man.
Lito? He's out running like independent promotions. So, Lito's out running other promotions, man.
He was kind of like a Razor Ramon ripoff, though, right? If you kind of think of it.
Instead of a toothpick, it's an apple as the gimmick. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So
now,
it was an apple. Yeah.
Back to the reason why I said about Punk, it's the genius why people liked him. It's because he didn't read off the paper. He made up his shit. I mean, a lot of people, like, okay, they don't understand. When you go through the dry rehearsals of being like an extra in WWE, they go through rehearsal, they say what they're going to do during their match, and then they go over promos. Punk be off, you know, by himself. He'd read what they give him, but he just, after time, they just said, just go at it, you know, see what you got. And each time, he'd add more stuff and more stuff. I think his best work probably was 2013 with Undertaker. You know, the build for that was perfect. He's the perfect fucking heel. You've got a guy that doesn't give two shits less what Vince McMahon thinks, but he still makes it work because he's a good worker. He worked when he was sick. He made sure the audience was entertained because that's the goal of a worker. And a lot of audience liked him because he could make a, you know, random promo here and there and make you laugh. And that's very rare, because that's like what a Stone Cold and a Rock could do. He took that to the whole nother level, you know, by like what he said during that shoot promo. Hi, Vince. I guess I'm breaking the fourth wall. You know, I mean, shit like that. Like you said on Colt Cabana's show, it was like, the reason why a lot of people wonder why he quit, it's because of the discrepancy. He got fired through the mail. Triple H sent him, you know, he said that he tried to, you know, he has said multiple times, this is just hearsay, and I'm not going to get in between the politicking and the business because I've actually met some of these cats, and I respect them and love them and whatever, you know, honor them for the business. But from what Triple H said on one podcast, which was, I tried to reach out to him. There, you know, I don't think there was a discrepancy between he and I, and that's why, you know, just eventually had to let him go. So, you know, to get fired through the mail, that's even more insulting because you don't feel the satisfaction of I got fired in person. So I understand why CM Punk shut off at the mouth and why he's not back in WWE. Eventually, yeah, he'll come back like Brett because Brett got screwed over a different way. It took Brett a while to get rid of some of those demons, and it's going to take CM Punk. It's going to take his ass a while to, you know, get over the pride of saying goodbye to WWE. You know what I'm saying? Like, fans love him, dude, because if he comes back, it'll shock the world. But now you're in a whole different ballgame because now he's actually got competition like Finn Balor, Nakamura.
It's kind of different. Like, I try to explain to my son. My son loves John Cena, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between John Cena and the Triple H. Or maybe that's just me getting older, you know? But there's a difference between John Cena and The Rock, Triple H, and Big Show and Goldberg. Like, we really used to have some wrestlers for real. You know, like,
I feel you, because I've told my nephews who are younger, they don't understand, because one's 5 and one's 3. One really likes Roman Reigns, and everyone, and, you know, when they boo Roman, he doesn't understand. Kids are at an age where a wrestler is their hero. You know, when we were 5 or 6 years old, it was Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Jake the Snake
Hogan
Roberts.
Hogan was my favorite.
Yeah,
Hogan is still my favorite
Hogan,
to this day. Yeah.
Hogan made the transition easy, though, because, remember, he went to – when he signed in WCW in 94, and then he transitioned from being complete babyface, wearing the red and yellow, Hulkamania, never die. Well, it died when the NWO came about in 1995 or 96 at Bash at the Beach, and Hogan just – he let loose. This is the best thing as a worker. When you're allowed to fucking let loose and not care what the audience thinks, that's when you're a successful worker. Like The Miz or, you know, John Cena. John Cena is successful. Why? Because if he let all the haters in his head talk about, oh, you know, yeah, you suck. You only have 5 moves. You have the 5 moves of doom. He hears that all the time. So unless you say something that'll catch his attention, wrestlers really honestly don't care, because why? They're still getting a paid salary better than you and myself, okay? Also, the main thing is he was able to reach kids. So that's why he may not be something special to you or I, but to your son, that dude is everything, because he stands up for the little people. He stands up for the guy that can't walk. He's like this generation's Hogan. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people now, though, don't want that because this breed of wrestling, this state of wrestling, they have different people to choose from. So, of course, you know, when you take your boy to a wrestling show, they're gonna be people that boo him, or they're going to be people who say, why are you wearing that Cena stuff? Man, he's terrible. But they don't understand, you know, this is a little kid who don't know no better. And this is why he cheers. This is why he stands up and says, okay, you know, because kids pander him, because age 6 to 14, the demographics show who knows about wrestling. You know, John Cena's name will pop up instantly like that. So, I mean, it all depends. It really all depends. Like, that's just my take on the whole reason why, you know, you can't quite explain to him what is he's little. But as he gets older, he'll probably say, Dad, why did I like John Cena? I don't know why. Maybe I was just, maybe that was just a phase. I don't know. That's just my take on it. The difference between him and the other wrestlers that we had, like Bam Bam Bigelow and Mabel and all them and Undertaker. We had a variety of guys that we could look up to. And I, you know what, dude? I completely agree with you. So Hogan was probably a good guy, but it all depends on you as the fan. Like, if you can explain it to your son, like, he's a hero to you guys because he fights, stands up for what's right, then that's great. So, is there anything else on your mind, my friend? Hello? Hello? Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, in about 45 seconds, we thank you. Well, hang on 1 second. Try something right quick. All right, my friend, do you hear what? Hello? I guess we had an interesting call that I don't know where this cat's at, but if you want to, you can stay on the line. Because in 15 seconds, we're going to jump inside the mind of good old me. And we're talking about the ups and downs of professional wrestling, not just the state of professional wrestling where we think it is. So here it goes. Gentlemen, it's your boy B-Train, and there have been ups in wrestling, and there have been downs in professional wrestling. So, I gotta say, I don't know what happened to my friend, but I guess I'll let you stay on the line for the remainder of the show. It shouldn't be too much longer. So, what I gotta tell you is this. The reason why the title is Ups and Downs of Pro Wrestling is something like this. Ups being, you know, there's 1 week where the show is completely captivating, the audience is into your shit. The other, here's the deal. The other being the downs, where a lot of people can debate to kingdom come why wrestling isn't where it's supposed to be, where it's supposed to be, and all that good jazz. So there, you know, I just wonder what you all think. Yep, I'm getting questions. All right. Well, I'm going to answer all of these questions. Here it is. The ups in professional wrestling happen to be, you know, like when people tune in and they're on the edge of their seats. And also, ladies and gentlemen, oh, man, these questions keep pouring in. As I'm reading these questions, here's what I have to say to you all. Professional wrestling can have their ups and their downs. The ups being when you're in the business and you have a lot to look forward to as a fan, and then you just completely get bombarded by, like, reasonings like, oh, you know, we can definitely give our fans a show, and we're going to give them great, great times. I don't know. That all depends. So what you guys are looking for in the world of professional wrestling. So when you're looking for ups, you just have to be positive whenever you enter the building. No, I'm not telling you how to feel, because as a fan, I would hate that. I would hate being told exactly how to feel. Like, oh, you know, you should be able to not bring a camera or a laser pen. So, I mean, don't hinge upon what other people say, okay? So, in other words, when you want an up, just, I don't know, guys. I'm getting all these questions. All right. So the question is, why should someone have the believability, or why should someone believe in Roman Reigns? Okay, God Almighty. Why should someone believe in anyone? Sure, Roman is a bit of a you-know-what, and you-know-what, I don't know what. Just... Roman Reigns should not always be the main focus of the show. It's going to be like, okay, ups and downs of professional wrestling. It can be business. You can love the business. You can hate the business. You can believe that there's, you know, a proper, there is something always proper about the business, and that is, yeah, there's going to be favorites, and yes, there's going to be people that don't really pay attention. They just come because it's their relative that is wrestling in the ring. So does it have anything to do with ups and downs? Being able to focus. That's, you know, one problem that most people have. You know, that's a downer. But being able to come back and make something of yourself in this business, that's a positive. So, in other words, you got to keep your head up. Not only keep your head up in this business, but you have to maintain focus. It's hard to do that. Thank you, Jimmy from Brooklyn, New York. There's just a lot of things on my mind, you know? And what I'm trying to tell you guys is ups and downs in the wrestling business. There are people that are meant for this business, and there's people that are not meant for this business. And I'm not defending by any means. I'm not defending Roman Reigns, but there just happens to be one other question. And that other question happens to be, what focus would be maintained? All right, so back to being what I said. Ups and downs of professional wrestling. Ups, you're on an all-time high, everybody loves you. Downs, you're on a low. And, you know, not everybody is agreeing with what you're saying, or they just tune out. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but you know, here's the thing. Whenever, you know, I, you know, have experienced ups and downs, I've found ways to deal with it. I just don't know. I just don't know what these questions are about. That's why I'm kind of pausing, ladies and gentlemen. That's why these pauses are happening. So to pick up where I left off and go on a little bit of a tirade, here it is. If you go through it up in the world of professional wrestling, please maintain. You know, maintain it. Don't ever let it go. If you go through a down, don't give up. This just sounds like an advice column instead of, you know, what are the ups and downs, what are the ins and outs of professional wrestling type thing. Well, here it is. In 13 minutes that I have left with you all, I'm going to say it right here, right now. There's going to be guys that come in this business and think they know everything. There's going to be guys who just are natural selection. They're a natural fit for what the business has to offer. So, and how does this tie in with ups and downs? Sometimes, you know, it is kind of unnerving to see people succeed. Then I realize, you know what, got to focus on my own shit in order to move forward. Kind of being, you know, the downer. Really, I mean, if Joe Schmo is succeeding and moving forward with his career, should that really affect me and my career as a podcast host or a co-host? No, it shouldn't. If I go out, you know, further to the West Coast and I go to a promotion that says, hey, B-Train, we really liked your stuff, but you just, you know, you didn't make the cut, so I'm sorry. You're gonna have to sit this one out. I've had to deal with certain times, ladies and gentlemen, about me sitting out during a promotion. It made me feel like shit. And so, of course, the backlash that came after that wasn't the best of all backlashes. So I gotta say this right here, right now. I'm not 100% sure why I'm going over this with you, but here it is. There comes a time in professional wrestling when you, the worker, tends to be like just taking a step back and just observing shit. And then it's all depending upon, you know, this is just life as well. I went through a time where a lot of people grew to like me for who I was, and then I grew apart, you know, because I just wasn't hitting on all cylinders. So it all depends. And you just have to take the time out to say, yeah, I'm fucking frustrated. And I'm at the point where, you know, you just you have to take a step back, take some deep breaths, and realize that it will get better. So hopefully tomorrow on Off the Rails Uncensored, I can get this together. Because as of the moment, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a sabbatical and I'm just going to sign off here, take some time, and hopefully tomorrow will be better, and to see you all tomorrow. All right, folks, my name is Brian Rails from Off the Rails at Wrestle Radio. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to leave like this. I am not going to leave like this. Bump that noise. I had a lot of ups and downs in professional wrestling. You know, I started off, I could come back and I can do this over again. Well, you know what? In 2014, that shit went awry because I believed in a company that was full of shit. Then I came and realized, I came to the realization I had to leave and get out. So, I mean, this is just just one of those things where you have realizations where, oh, you know, maybe this will get better, things will get better. That's what I'm talking about when it comes to ups and downs with professional wrestling. I'm not just talking about me. There's other people that have bouts of depression and they get in the ring, it's, you know, done. But it'll get to you because you're used to traveling the road and coming back to your normal life. Well, if I was in, you know, outside right now, what normal life is there? I mean, professional wrestling is an addiction. It can either ruin you or it can make you a better person and make you stronger. Which one did it do to me? Yeah, that's the question. That's all on me, folks. It's not this person ruined me, that person ruined me. I'm not fucking pointing fingers anymore. I'm wanting to make that change and just hopefully, you know, do better. Because as far as I'm concerned, the ups and downs of professional wrestling are as follows. You can succeed and flourish, your gimmick gets over, you get over, you sign autographs, you make money, your merchandise sells really well, you work hard, you do great. There are people that catch all the breaks. It's not all the breaks, man. Do you think these people like Marty Bell or Mia Yim or Lakota Red Cloud or Jeremy Wyatt, do you think they sat on their ass and did nothing? I don't think so. So I would like to know what you all believe is an up and down in the world of professional wrestling, because I'm pretty sure, without the shadow of a doubt, that people are going to hate no matter what. You can boo me, cheer me, love me, do whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, this is where, you know, I say the following. You can't ever give up. You can't ever give in. You just got to be you at the end of the day. Ups and downs of professional wrestling, yeah, it happens. But I'm going to cover that more tomorrow based on, you know, where I stand as far as my viewpoints on professional wrestling. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to hopefully be better off tomorrow. And this time, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to go into more. I don't want to delve into the entire details for a whole hour and 20 minutes tomorrow. I'm going to stretch it out, if you will. This is B-Train from Off the Rails. Off the Rails Uncensored tomorrow at whatever time I decided to put it on. So tune in, ladies and gents. Catch you later.
Yeah!
right, people, I'm not going off the air just yet because I feel like that's kind of a shitty way to end this fucking show. Here it is. Ups and downs of professional wrestling. You, the individual, controls your fate when you enter into this business. You are the individual that says, hey, I signed up for this shit. I am going to do this shit, and I am going 100% balls to the wall. Do it without shame. Professional wrestling is and will always be my therapy, Jake's therapy, Kurt's therapy, anyone's therapy for a weekend that's being really shitty. But I got to tell you something. Although the walls feel like they're closing in right now, I don't ever let my personal shit air out. Because why? I have a therapist for that. And just so you know, I'm not going to keep not ending this show. But just a little preview for tomorrow. It's going to be called Ups and Downs of Pro Wrestling Continued on Off the Rails Uncensored. You can catch me whenever that is, sometime after 6 p.m. Eastern Time. All right? So anyways, you want to tune in, call in, do whatever. I don't give a fuck. Just, you know, catch you on the flip side, folks. See you.